too. There we go. There we go. I always get confused. Is it this way? Is it that way? So here we go. Because I was used to be a Raider fan. That's why I'm confused. Like that.
Used to be.
Now I'm a front runner. Loyal to one woman and one God. The rest is entertainment. And there's nothing entertaining about losing franchises. I was in high school. Look at me. I'm 100 years old. The last time the Raiders went to a Super Bowl. And Scott's still a fan. I don't get it. Not really? That's because he's tired of losing. Good morning. My name's Mark Campbell. I'm a friend of Scott's. I've known him for 25 years or something now. I'm actually licensed as a pastor here through Rock Bible. I worked at Three Crosses for 20 years as a men's pastor. Prior to that, at First Baptist Castro Valley in as a youth pastor. And I've just been serving the Lord since 97. My wife and I started a nonprofit 6 years ago. And then COVID happened and everything went upside down. And I come about once a year. I think I wear people out in about 10 minutes. You'll find out. And so he invites me. He invited me 5 months ago. What, is he doing a wedding today? I think he's doing a wedding or something. He invited me 5 months ago. And about 2 months ago, I went, it's the weekend after the election. What the heck? What am I going to be coming into? Who knows, right? And so let's pray. Lord, thank you for these people. Thank you for Scott. Thank you for his ministry here. Thank you for what you're doing in Pleasanton through Rock Bible, around the world through Rock Bible. And we thank you mostly for your spirit. It gives us encouragement and guidance. Your spirit gives us guidance and hope and power to make it through this generation and do the things you've called us to do and be the people you've called us to be. Thank you for everything you're doing. And be with us this morning, Lord. Say what you want to say. And selfishly, would it be a little bit of fun? In your son's name we pray. Amen. I'm kidding about the Raiders, but I'm not kidding about the Raiders. I grew up 10 blocks from the Elgin Coliseum. And the year they moved, they won their last Super Bowl in L.A. And it was, like, devastating to the community because everybody was a Raider fan. I never met a 49er fan in my entire life until Joe Montana. So the whole world was a Raider fan. It was like gridiron football. And partly because they were commitment to excellence and the most winning sports franchise in the history of the world, if you can believe it. People that weren't around in the 1900s, can you believe it? They used to win. It's true. And they were the most winning franchise in history. Basketball, baseball, football, anything. They won everything. And I think that's why everybody gravitated to them, because people, normal people, don't wake up and think, boy, I hope I could lose today. Like in something, at the job, I hope I stink it up real good, or marriage. We're people that like victory. We like to win. And Paul talks about that, right? Hey, don't run your race for the wreath that's going to perish. Run your race, win your race, be victorious in your race, but make sure it's the right race. He even knows we just hate losing. And I just can't get over the fact of any competition, any election, any Super Bowl, anything, there's a winning side and a losing side. And I'm right now a little scared over what I felt with the 49ers losing the Super Bowl. Like, in front of the world, you lose. That's like, how do you get over that? Because I know that when my wife watches me stink it up around the house or something and I lose a moment, an afternoon, you know, 3 weeks, some of our arguments go on a little bit, you know, I'm 37 years of marriage, you know, you're married people, you know what I'm talking about, when they go on maybe for decades or something. Excuse me, I mean weeks or something. We just don't like to lose. Well, today's scripture is about victory. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 8. And so first I said, Scott, are you kidding me? I called him like the day after the election, and then I realized you're in 2 Samuel. I love David. He's my favorite Old Testament character. We named our daughter, she's 31 now, Davia, which is the female derivative of David. I'm a David guy. I love David. And I go, 2 Samuel chapter 8, great, there's nothing here for me to speak about. It says David's doing his greatest imitation of being ISIS and cutting people's heads off. It's really a trip. I'm just going to open it up here. After this, David defeated and subdued the Philistines by conquering Gath, their largest town. David also conquered the land of Moab. He made the people lie down on the ground in a row. He measured them off in groups with a length of rope. He measured off two groups to be executed for every one group to be spared. And the Moabites who were spared became David's subjects, and he paid They paid David tribute money for the rest of their lives. What? It's like you guys are terrible. You're going to die. You guys are going to die. You guys are going to live, but you're going to pay me everything for the rest of your lives. And that's just the beginning of our lovely chapter. It goes on to say this. He defeated, he subdued, he conquered after playing jump rope and charged the survivors. He executed, destroyed, captured 20,000, crippled 19,900, killed 22,000 more, charged all remaining tribute money, took all remaining gold, bronze, and artifacts, became famous throughout the land, and returning, he destroyed 18,000 more men. Wow. Now, you guys have been in 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, I assume, so you've had it explained to you that this is a barbaric time in history. This is not like what they do now. Even at the time of Christ, it was barbaric. Even 1,000 years ago, it was barbaric. Braveheart, 700 years, it's all been barbaric, and the Lord had to preserve his promise to Abraham, hey, through your people, I'm going to deliver the world. So he had to protect Israel, and it got real ugly through the culture they were in. So we're not going to park on that too much, but here's the key to this whole chapter. 2 Samuel 8, verse 6 and 14, it says, the Lord made David victorious wherever he went. Victorious wherever he went. Our victory looks different than David's victory, but we are still called to be victorious. Now, I'm not a big Revelations guy, but if you have a Bible or a tablet or care, turn to Revelations chapter 2 and 3. Not a big deal. Take a note, mental note, Revelations 2 and 3. And I don't like the book of Revelations because my first religious movement was in eighth grade. I was in a parking lot, much like this church, a church about this size, maybe a little larger, in the parking lot smoking weed with my friends, eighth grade. And a little blonde came out in the youth group during the week, and she invited me into the youth group. Cheryl Baxter was her name. Blonde hair, smelled like sea breeze. She was like beautiful. And I met her like 10 years later, or 10 years ago, and she recalls this afternoon. Invites me into the youth group, and they were about 10 kids sitting around a table, and they were all talking about Revelations. Now, my dad's drunk on the floor with a fifth of vodka. My mom can't talk. She's got MS. She's bedridden. I'm an only child. I'm kind of like just came from Oakland. I'm in Castro Valley. And I'm sitting in my first ever Bible study, like, what the heck? And I asked a question. They were in Revelations. I asked a question. And they laughed at me. Like, snickered. Who knows why? You know, kids. But don't like weed or dumb question or whatever. And so I thought, I'm going to steal your bus. They had a bus out in the parking lot. I wanted to get to Santa Cruz, sincerely. I thought, that bus can get us there. And I'm going to steal every girl in this youth group, which was four of them. And so I stole that bus. About 2 weeks later, crashed it, hit the speed bump going too fast, right behind Trader Joe's, First Press in Castro Valley. Crashed it into the building, like it was a Partridge Family bus. And into the back of the building, and we ran, never got caught. So I've always had a thing. When I came to faith, I went, Revelations. And that doesn't go well for me. I mean, it causes a lot of anxiety in my heart, right? In Revelations, we see, anyone who has ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying. To the churches, to us. I love the fact that the end wraps up, and the first thing that the Lord's going to do is judge us, the church, God's people, globally, on what we did with our time, our gifts, our money, our talents, our desires. He says, yeah, we're going to get to the whole world, but let's start with my people first. Anybody who has ears to hear, and anybody who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and listens to it, they will be victorious. They will be victorious. All through the seven rebukes of the seven churches in Revelations, he says, anybody who has ears to hear and listens will be victorious. We today can be victorious like David was 3,000 years ago, moment by moment, day by day, with whatever comes our way. Woodshop. 1978, 79, 80, 81, 82, and 83. All's I did at Hayward High was take woodshop. My senior year, I graduated at Christmas with a B average with seven periods of woodshop. That was my whole senior year. I'm not kidding you. There was no minimum proficiency exam. You had to have 1 year of English, 1 year of no science, 1 year of math, 1 year of English, 4 years of history, and enough credits to graduate. And it was like, what? And then I graduated, and then it was bad for my business. I had a little pharmaceutical business going at the time. And so I went back and just kind of milled around the school for another 2 years, sincerely, and just kind of showed up. And I walked two times. I just walked again with my black gown and my little hat. And wood shop was my jam. Here's my granddaughter and my wife last week. And it's an amazing thing because this was just Monday. And my granddaughter is playing with this bowl. And it all came rushing back. What happened? Oh, we lost it. Thank you for that. Nate's killing it. Can we thank Nate? Mic's off. It just dropped? Yeah. I wonder why. Did I do something?
I don't think you did anything.
But let me know. Just rebuke me if I'm giving it trouble. Operator error. Operator error, probably. That was it. Am I good, Nate? Thank you, everybody. Nate. He actually, when I came up, he said, I'm feeling a little down. And I need to be an encouragement, so I'm going to have to come up and do some things so I can be encouraged by the community. Would you mind that? So thank you, Nate. It worked out perfectly for you. Yeah. He needs encouragement. We all need encouragement because we want to be victorious. So she's playing with this bowl on the floor, and I went, oh, my gosh, I made this my sophomore year in high school. What? My dad died. I was never close with my dad, and we went and cleaned out his stuff about 4 years ago. I remember making this with Geister, the first man that really invested in me. He was my woodshop teacher, and not Mr. Geister. I'll never be able to know his first name. I went to my Hayward High yearbook and looked up, and it just says Geister. Geister was this old gray-haired dude with a beard and just calm and collected. And he's in our woodshop back in the day, back in the 1900s, was amazing. It was like 10 times this size. We were making furniture. I got a gold medal at the county fair in Pleasanton on a coffee table I made my sophomore year. I mean, we were like making furniture. Look at this. This is my freshman year. Black walnut. Geister helped me chisel this bottom thing off, you know, that goes to the lathe. And I remember oiling in it, and I remember giving this to my mom. She's got MS, and I remember, I think for her medication or something. It was on her dresser, and she put her medication here. And I look at my granddaughter, and she's playing with Geister's bowl. This is like 50 years ago. Right? It's amazing. And Geister was famous for two things. One, his calmness, and two, his cup. Every week, we had a balcony like this, a loft, and he used to come up, and we'd have to take roll, and he'd say, okay, we're going to make a bookshelf today, or this week, we're going to make a bowl, or whatever we're going to do, take roll, and then we'd go down from the loft, and we'd every Monday, do a safety meeting, because you had to. And so all the kids would gather around the saw, and he'd say, okay, who's got the cup? And the kid would be in the back, okay, I got the cup, Geister. And the cup would go right on top of the table saw. And he'd say, okay, so you stand here on the saw, and this is the guard, and you never get to the side. And anybody questions? Nope. Okay, let's go to the bandsaw. Bandsaw, who's got the cup? I got the cup, Geister. Okay, cup goes on the band side. This is the bandsaw, most underused equipment in the shop, best piece of equipment in the shop. Boom, 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 boom. And we go, any questions? Nope. Then we go over to the lathe. And then somebody would say, Geister, what's with the cup? He goes, oh, everybody can hear me, but a couple of you guys aren't listening to me. So when you cut your thumb off, this is what we put your thumb in when we walk you to the office. I'm dead serious. This is where your thumb's going to go. So every piece of equipment all year, you couldn't operate the equipment until you had a cup on it. I mean, it was like genius. And it just symbolized, I know you can hear me, but some of you guys will not be victorious. You're going to cut your finger off. And that's where we put it. It was so clear. And the Lord speaks to that so clearly in Revelations. And he says, this is your number one blank if you care about blanks. There's a big difference between hearing the Spirit and listening to the Spirit. And Revelation says, that will divide the victorious from the non-victorious. You're still going to go to heaven. You're still going to be sitting with the King. But the victory is on this side of eternity, is ours. Do we walk in that victory or do we not walk in that victory? And if we're honest with each other, walking with the Spirit is frightening. Because the Spirit is always pulling us into something that requires faith. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where the, this is life. This is the life of faith, Hebrews 11. This is it. Moment, day by day, when we leave here, we're going to go to a restaurant or a family gathering or a sporting event or something, and we're going to walk into that setting and go, Lord, what would you have me be or do here? Or I'm just here for the tacos, and I want the shortest line, get the heck out of my way, and make sure it's not too spicy. That's not, the Spirit's not guiding us to the best taco, right? I think Yelp is the best example of how we're living in our culture today that takes us out of living in Christ, in the Spirit, because we're going to go Yelp the best tacos. What if the Spirit wants us to go to the little guy who's a month away from losing his shop because his mother-in-law's in the back making the salsa and the salsa's crappy? And Yelp tells you that's crappy salsa. And the guy that owns the shop knows it's crappy salsa, but I'm stuck with the mother-in-law. And the Lord's been trying to get his church to that taqueria to encourage that family for like a year, but Yelp takes us to the good one. I mean, it's subtle, but it's powerful because there's ripples, ripples behind God's people. It's the ripple of love and forgiveness and faith and belonging and community. That's the victory. And the Spirit is always nudging us to that forgiveness, grace, loving the people that bug us. Anybody, if we're honest enough, I don't know, man. 90% of the world bugs me. It bugs me. You know what I'm saying? How many people? I can see in your face. People bug you too.
They do.
They bug us. And the Lord's nuts about them. God is nuts about everybody on the planet. And I want to be victorious. New Year's Eve. Last year, my wife and I, we've been through 6 years of building a nonprofit. It was called the Tribal Way, but the tribal word is kind of a tough sell today. Everybody, we're getting so divided up. It's based on Genesis 12:1, when God says to Abraham, you're going to be a great tribe, a great nation, and through your nation, the world will be blessed. We are a descendants of that tribe. We are adopted into the tribe of Judah. That's a tough sell for today's culture. So it's a crappy name, great intentions. It's a great name, Tribal Way, but I'm trying to reach people, man. The Spirit's going, come on, man, remove barriers. Stay sound in doctrine and theology, but remove the barriers, right? And so Kath and I realized we really are 1 Peter 2:9 people. We're priests of a nation. I love Rock Bible. You are globally minded. Like Mark Tyler with 360, Vietnam, Mexico. You guys are globally. But I love it. It says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, home, Samaria, enemies, and Judea, whole countryside, and around the world. So you guys are like global. I'm really, my conviction's always been with the guy stealing the bus right now that's in the parking lot. That's my conviction. That's my root. That's where I come from. Somebody's eyeballing those jet skis. Are you kidding me? If I lived in this neighborhood, they would not be there. I'm serious. Those things would be on Craigslist in my backyard is where they'd be. No. I wanted to get paid, man. I had a pharmaceutical business to run. I'm not out on the water. Bad marketing, but we'll get there. I'm sorry. We'll get there. Where was I? That was too fun. Priest of a new nation. And so we're and Paul says, you are not that way. He just did this big list of following the world. Yelp. I love Yelp. I'm not bagging on Yelp. I'm just saying it gets in the way of us following the Spirit. Lots of stuff does. You're not that way. You are a peculiar people. You go the way of the Spirit. Yes, which looks different. It looks different, not weird. It's compelling. It's compelling. It's like, remember for Acts 2? They met together. They broke bread. They ate donuts. They celebrated. They praised God. They broke the word open, right? And people were in awe. It's peculiar. Different kinds of people, different demographics, all coming together, praising a God in the hardships of life. Huh. Peter says, don't forget that's who you are. And so we changed our name legally to The Peculiar Way, and we're pumped about it. And it's just not, we're not promoting The Peculiar Way. I'm promoting Finding Dad and the surf retreats I'm doing. It's just an umbrella nonprofit that we're running. And this last 2 years, you need to know, because you guys support us a couple $100 a month, which is greatly appreciated. We raised over $100,000 in the last 4 years, and we built this shed, and we call it the shed because it used to be a potter's shed. And I was here last year talking about it, and it was almost done. And the inside is like, it's like over the top glorious, 1,500 square foot deck that was donated, kitchen. It sits on top of a waterfall. I can go on and on about the shed. And the shed is for people who are in the middle of a crisis that we give. So when they come there, they feel seen by the Creator. It's Matthew 11:28. Come when you're tired, worn out, and prickly. I'll give you rest. Learn from me. My ways are easy. My burden is light. So the thing is, rest, listen, and reset. For an example, we had a guy, he's 31 years old in our surf community, 6 weeks ago was diagnosed with a testicular cancer. Big deal at Verve Coffee, water photographer, great dude. We've known him for 4 years. He's gonna move to Tennessee back because he's had his little one-year-old boy, and we're gonna move back home to mama and dad and be around the family. And he says, well, I'm just gonna take 6 months to get into a medical network there. I might as well do a checkup. Quit the job, gave up the house. We're leaving Tuesday. I think I'll go do my physical. No, you're not going nowhere. In fact, we're gonna schedule surgery tomorrow. Like, what? So Baker, Leslie wife, one-year-old boy, Max the dog, and mother-in-law flew out from Tennessee, five of them, in the shed for 14 days. I could go on and give you the text. Baker was in ministry, got chewed up, burned out, mad at God, spit out, moved to Santa Cruz. Nothing to do with faith, nothing to do with our fires, loved us, loved the community. And within 3 nights, he goes, Mark, this shed has brought me back into community with God. 12 days later, we had all of Pleasure Point on this deck celebrating them as they were now cancer-free. Verve Coffee said, we're not canceling your medical. Verve, the owner of Verve Coffee is a believer. Says, not only are we not canceling the medical, you're going to be a consultant for the next year, and your $30,000 deductible, we're paying that because we love God, and God's got something in your life. And he sits on this deck pondering creation, and he tells all of Pleasure Point on this deck the day before he leaves, my cancer was the best thing that ever happened to me because it brought me back to God. That's why we built the shed. That's where your money went. It went into this. We have three women, two sisters and a cousin, who all three of them lost their firstborn sons in the last 2 years. 28-year-old boy, 31-year-old boy, 17-year-old boy. All three women are going to come and grieve together. One was 2 years ago, one was a year ago, and one was 6 months ago, and they still can't get over it. I could never imagine. It's just like the worst thing I think that could happen. And they're going to come and grieve. And so the shed is like sacred and done. And thank you for your support of that. The other thing we did is the Loose Change Surf Camps. I spoke a lot about it last time I was here. If you don't remember, the world's best longboard surfer came to faith in our backyard 4 years ago. Took him to Israel. He's a big deal. And people pay us $4,000 to come spend 5 days at the farm in teepees. And we do a surf camp and all kinds of people. We had one a month ago, guy from Peru, guy from New York City. I guess P. Diddy's in a little bit of trouble, if you know who P. Diddy is. The leading law firm that's busting P. Diddy, that attorney was at the surf camp. I mean, it's like the kind of people that are like, what? And so we sit around and I do the fire talk. I do parables. I just tell parables. They don't even know they're parables. A parable that sowed the seed. And we refine your surfing, revive your soul. That's happening. And then we have a gathering every Wednesday night where I get, this is my granddaughter, my son, another little baby, four surfers, a doctor, and an attorney. We just sit around and open the scriptures. We all went through all the book of John last year. Now we're in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 3. And last Wednesday night, I don't know if I loaded this picture. We had a baptism right here. Emilio got baptized in the backyard. And so that's what we're doing right now currently. But come New Year's Eve, Kath and I were like, do I get a job? Shed's done. We don't have a lot of support. I mean, it's chump change. It's fun. It went all into the shed. We had some big donors for the shed. And we just thought, do I go get a job? I'm 60. We've launched our nonprofit. That's what it is. It's the shed and me gathering people and doing camps. And we went on a coffee crawl. A storm was coming. It was New Year's Eve on our bikes. We go coffee shop. And we always theme out our years together. Start around Thanksgiving. What's the year going to be about? What's our theme verse? What's the name? This year for me, it's grow. I don't want to be that bro that don't grow. You know, at 60, you start figuring, you think you have things figured out. I want to stay curious and open and learning and growing. And so this whole theme for me next year is grow. But last year, I was like, man, what are we going to do? Do I go get a job? And I don't care. I love working. I mean, look at me. I got energy. And the Lord just went, coffee crawl turned into a beer crawl. And so we ditched the bikes, storm's coming, and we're brilliant. Went to Hayward High 6 years in a row. So we get on the Vespa. That's what you do when the storm's coming. You get on the Vespa. And I'm watching the satellite because I'm growing. I got technology. And I see that it's like 100 miles off. It's like, we're good. Jazz band. We go to that brewery. And by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we've got napkins out. I still have the napkins. And Kath, my wife, 37 years, your whole life's been discipleship. You need to record an album. Call it Pass It On. And because that's what it is. My whole life is pass on what I know, not what I think, and be discipled. I'm always looking for guys to learn from and guys that I can bring through the season they're in. And I'm in this range. I call it riding the rim. And last time I was here, I think we talked about riding the rim. And finding guys that I can learn from and finding guys that I need what I have to offer. And it's a life of discipleship. And she says, why don't you record the album? And then late in the beer crawl, we'll call it like 4 breweries in. So you never know if it's the spirit or too much IPA. It's New Year's Eve. Forgive me. Did that offend you? No. Talk to Scott about it. He'll fire me. Can't, because I'm not employed by him. Anyway, we go, we'll do camps. We have all these tents and teepees in the loose change camp. The bonos are built. We got an outdoor kitchen, outdoor shower. Let's do men's retreats. And then we'll do the album, we'll do men's retreats, and we'll do mentorship. We'll build a little cabin off into the woods, and we'll have guys that are in ministry struggling come spend a week with me, learn from the soil, the sea, and the spirit. We'll farm a garden together a little bit. We'll go out surf a little bit. We'll get into some new practices. We'll establish a good prayer life. We'll work through some demons. We'll get a guy back on his feet, you know, because ministry's hard. And I've been through ministry, a lot of ministry, so I can help a couple of guys, give them some perspectives, right? And so that was what we established, this album cover, 4 days later. And it's the ripples of good ministry. It's a circle. It's around the fire. And my wife designed this. And then Mark Tyler, 360 Serve, his son James Tyler, I call him January 1st. I say, James, you can't believe it. I think it's the spirit. I think it's the spirit. Might be the bad salsa or the IPA. I think I want to record an album. Boom, he says, I'll be there January 27th. That's you. I'm done. We're doing that. January 27th, this is James took this picture of me in my little surf shed, made it a sound booth, and we recorded an album. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. It's on everywhere. It's everywhere you can do. And he stayed 4 days, and on February 1st, exactly 1 month past the nudge of the Spirit, do this. I think this is right. And it was frightening. A full month, I'm writing this thing. It's a 12-track album, 8 minutes per track, on my adventure of discipleship. Great stories, great tidbits, great lessons I've learned, great scripture unpacking, but for the world. It's not for the church, so it's heavy lean-in on people that are just dabbling into faith and very encouraging for men that are in faith that need a discipleship experience, and women. I had a woman listen to the album, start something called Full Term, a 9-month discipleship experience with women. And so it's not just for men, it's just that's all I know. Right? I'm married to one woman, and I kind of fell into men's ministry my whole life. And I can't speak about things that I don't know about. And so by February 1st, I had 4 full weekends on men's retreats. I launched it on my Instagram. I got all these people coming all over to have a men's retreat, sit with Bibles open, sit and talk life, hike together, wrestle together, sit around. It's all around the fire. There's the teepees in the background. This was the guys from Turlock. A bunch of bikers from Turlock came. It was wild, to say the least. This is that group. This is them at their Turlock. They're all big men, man. They're bikers. Half of them ex-Hells Angels. All of them with their Bibles open, new in the faith, just expanding their understanding of who the Lord is and what the Lord's doing. This gentleman right here was one of the hits. He's so funny and so in love with the Lord and so trying to be a good grandfather. This dude, I don't know, I think he did 20 years in prison. I think he's about 55 years old, and he's so, it was raining. It rained the whole weekend, by the way. He's just not a goof that sits in the fire with an umbrella, okay? It's raining. And I fell in love with this guy. He took on 12 bikers in a bar one time. This is his, like, just a little story that they told me without him listening. 12 bikers, and after 6 started coming through the door, he realized, I can handle six. I can't handle seven or eight. 12 come out. He catches himself on fire with gas, knowing that there's a water cistern around the corner of the bar he can jump in to put himself out. He starts putting himself on fire. All the 12 bikers ran from the guy like he was like, this is David banging his head on the gate, right? And all the enemies, he's crazy. Let's get away from him. Jumps in the water. No problem. He said, all I had to do was grow my beard back. Wild. And now he loves the Lord. He's crying. He's praying. He's calling his wife. He's calling his grandkids. You can't believe what I heard this morning, what I'm learning about the Lord. I'm talking about, and me and Kath, I'm go back to the coffee crawl. Do you think this is the Lord? Do you think this is what he wants? This is us in the umbrella. This is us just praying with the guys. This is the Castro Valley group. This is them trying to wake up. And so I say that because on the first, last weekend in April, Rock Bible is having a men's retreat at the farm. Yeah, and I'm going to teach you how to sign up at the end of our little sermon. And if you care, and we can take up to 30 men. We have 20 teepees. Some of you guys bring your own campers, your own tents and all that. Doesn't matter. But it's sacred, man. I've been doing men's ministry for 25, 30 years. There's nothing like guys sitting around, not have a speaker, go to lunch or play golf, and then have a speaker. It's like it's walking along the way. It's talking about life. It's wrestling through doubt, wrestling through barriers, wrestling through stuff, and encouraging, laughing. We even fart. I'm sorry, ladies. I don't want to smell one of those inside of the tents. I would let them air out for like 3 days after the retreat, just to say as a side note. Number two on your half sheet, true victory ripples and blesses. It ripples and it blesses. That's how you can know you're in victory. That's how you can know. 2 weeks ago, we have our surf camp, Loose Change. This is CJ in the orange beanie. That's the pro surfer that came to faith, and we're just talking life. And this little gentleman in the chair with the ponytail is a sweet man. He called. He's the only guy from Castro Valley. We had a guy from Peru. We had the attorney. We had a New York City guy. We had all these guys from all over the world come to this Loose Change retreat. There was 11 surfers. And this guy, Matt, lives in the hills of Santa Cruz, homeschooled dad, tattoo guy, came through the tattoo world hard, quit all the drugs 7 years ago except weed, and he still struggles with weed, and came to camp thinking, I'm only going to come one day because these guys are probably jerks, and he's kind of recluse, sweet, loving dude. And by Monday, he gave us a piece of artwork. This is him surfing. Never surfed his whole life, gave $4,000 to come to a surf retreat because it's reviving souls, and I need my soul revived. Monday he goes home, and Monday night I get this text. He says, dude, I don't know what to say, but my wife flips down these prayer cards, and I don't know what the heck's going on. And I thought, oh, the wife's got tarot cards or something. You know, I'm in Santa Cruz. Like, prayer cards? Like, what's it? Like, okay. She handwrote these Ephesians 1:8, 2 Timothy, may my husband not be in fear. May he find his purpose this day. May he make good choices this day. He says, all five of these prayer cards lined up with the theme of Loose Change all 5 days. What the F is going on? I say, Matt, you got to come to our Bible study on Wednesday night, and I'll tell you what's going on. And it's amazing. He watched Emilio get baptized. What the heck? Ripples. It just ripples. When we answer the nudges of the Spirit, it ripples or it ceases. And that's how I'm learning. First, that you have to hear the Spirit and then have the courage to listen to the Spirit. And I just think, what if? So the Turlock crew leaves. A guy, a Mario, goes to the boardwalk after the retreat, meets his kids, ends up at the bar at the base of the boardwalk, meets the bartender, and says, you know, the end of time is coming. Okay, that's not my approach. Hey, guy, what's up? You know, the end is coming. You better have your heart right. That's not how I would roll, but I'm not an ex-Hells Angel, right? And pisses the bartender off. And they start jabbering back and forth for 2 or 3 hours, and he says, the guy ended up tipping me pretty good. 2 weeks later, the bartender texts the Turlock guy and says, I really am interested in scriptures. Do you know anybody here in Santa Cruz that is doing anything scripturally? I'm not a religious guy. And he says, you got to call Mark. I just left the men's retreat. Emilio calls, 2-hour coffee, 2-hour at my house, first prayer of his entire life. I give him a Bible. He shows up. And last Wednesday night, he's getting baptized. Unbelievable. ripples. And I pull him up, and I'm hugging him, and I'm praying, and I go, what if Kath and I just went, it was just a bad beer and a bad coffee. Let's go get a job and work it out. We haven't made any, we're just hanging on a thread with so much joy. And I'm saying that because you're part of it. Scott kind of gets mad when I just come and preach. He says, I want my people to hear the stories I'm hearing and seeing. I want them an update on the peculiar way. Because he's passionate about it. You guys are doing a men's retreat there. And I just wanted to take the time. I hate saying, look how good the Lord is to us. We're all operating under the same spirit, the resurrected spirit of God. And that's the big difference. Paul says, look, we are victorious when we're in Christ. In Christ doesn't mean we believe in Christ. In Christ is we're following him. That's in Christ. I am being compelled by his spirit, which he said, those of you who love me, John 14, if you love me, you do what I say. Then he says to the Hayward High student, because the next verse is, and if you don't love me, you don't do what I say. That's really clear for the Hayward High guy. I'm not going to steal his bus. That's like strong sauce. I'll never forget. Never forget the day. I'm now an assistant to Geister. I'm a senior. And I'm 7 years, seven periods of wood shop. I get there at 7 in the morning. And unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. Get the cop! Get the cop! People start screaming. Get the cop! Little kid standing there like this, bloodshot, pale. And they're shoveling around sawdust. And they scoop up this little nub of a thumb. I don't remember that kid's name. I remember everybody's name. Cheryl Baxter, 8th grade, walked into the church. Because he became known as the cup. Geister would take roll. Is the cup here? His name became the cup. He was synonymous with being the biggest idiot in woodshop's history. Geister went, really? You're operating equipment with the cup in your face, and you've had 4 years of safety lessons. Like, come on, man. So he's the cup. And I want to invite you guys to do three things. Four things. One is, the only important thing is, this New Year's Eve, this holiday season, this era where there's winners and losers on both sides of anything, what's the Lord calling you to? What is your nudge? Doesn't matter what we're doing with the peculiar way, as much as it matters with your life, your neighbors, your world, your realm, your kids, your life. What's that thing that the Lord says, I want to see ripples. I've put you on the planet to meet Matt. To meet Kai. CJ shows up with this surfer. These are the four best surfers in the world right now, by the way. This is at Santa Cruz Pleasure Point 2 weeks ago. My son, humbly, my granddaughter, CJ Nelson, bald guy on the right, zigzags in the shadow, you can't tell him, see him, Mike Zigzag, and this tall 28-year-old Kai Ellis Flint, Australian. CJ calls the day before Loose Change and says, can I bring Kai? He's sucking his thumb, he just lost the WSL, he lost the world championship in Australia. Because of his headspace, his girlfriend broke up with him, 7-year girlfriend. He came to Loose Change, slept pretty much for 2 days, kind of moseyed around the fires, and they stayed 3 more days after the retreat. And on the last night, he goes, I can't believe the stuff you guys talk about. How have I lived one day without this kind of a community? We've been FaceTiming. He's in Australia. This Wednesday is his first fireside. He left and went, you got to teach me how to have people and men around the fire. I have to have this in my life. Me and CJ are going to Australia to do a Loose Change. Refine your surfing and revive your soul. It's a ripple. You have ripples. God's calling you to something supernatural that's bigger but smaller. It's as easy as just saying, bro, you're different than me. Your salsa sucks. And the guy's going to say, I know. Let's love your grandmother or your mother-in-law. Let's get her somewhere else. And let's help you. Watch the ripple. It's the longer I'm living, it's just not that sexy. It's not that big. So first, seek the Lord for your community. What's he calling you to that's kind of weird that you kind of go, is that the bad coffee or is that the Lord? As I'm learning, that's what the Spirit shows up with. Maybe, like Moses at the Red Sea. Maybe. He says to go this way, boom, see you. It's just throughout Scripture. There's always that little, and that's where Yelp shows up. That's where the enemy shows up. That's where the distractor shows up. And I really, that's the big idea of this morning. Secondly, listen to the album. Go to my website, The Peculiar Way. The QR code's on your half sheet. You can look at it through the QR code. Go to the site. Male, female, listen to the album just for encouragement. Just for the sake of, oh, that's what a tribal discipleship, not in a church setting, looks like today. You'll get something. The Lord will reveal something to you. Thirdly is sign up for the men's retreat. When you go to the website, go to Pass It On. It's a Pass It On men's retreat. We're men that grow and pass on what we know. That's the difference. It's Pass It On. And then you go to your date, April 25th, 27th, Pleasanton men's retreat. Shoot me an email. We'll work out the details, make sure it's a good fit for you, answer any questions. Take a small deposit. If you need help getting there, Rock Bible's going to chip in and do what they can do to make it happen. And lastly, if you want to partner with our ministry, we're now New Year's Eve. Wow, we're going to do 6-7 camps a year. I did the album. Do I go get a job? We're looking for partners. We're doing mentorship to young pastors, and a lot of struggling pastors don't have money. A lot of people can't get to the men's retreat. A lot of people need help. We need your help and partnership. And I've never been that forward about it. I've never in my life, 60 years old, 61 in 2 weeks, never asked for money, ever. I'm a landscape designer builder. I earn, right? And I got to get over that because God's people like to be involved in what God's doing. And so I just wanted to be real clear about that. So consider what the Lord's doing in your life in a deep, profound way. Listen to the album. Become a partner. You get a video from me every month on what's happening. It's kind of fun. It's about a 12-minute video. And we email it to you. It's kind of fun. It's kind of personal. It's really wild. And then come to camp. And take your sons. Take your nephews. You know, bring your thing. Ladies, I wish I had more for you other than you're the salt of the earth. I'm trying to invest in men so that everybody that's involved with men's lives are better. Mark Tyler hired me, 22 years ago to take over men's ministry, and there was no men's ministry. And I said, the way I'm going to gauge how we're doing is the first woman that shows up in my men's corner and says, my family's changed. That's my litmus. That's why I do men's ministry, because my mother needed me to fall into good community. Amen? My wife needs me. My daughter, my granddaughter needs me to be strong. And not lording over them, loving them, and praying for them, and nurturing them. And because they matter. Everybody matters. Even the mother-in-law who's making watered-down salsa trying to save the guy some money. Lord, bless us. Speak to us. Lead us. Thank you for Geister and his cup. Thank you for the book of Revelations. Thank you for being a God that engages and speaks and nudges. And thank you for your grace. And thank you for being a patient God with us, with my faults, my mistakes, and still allowing us to build your kingdom. We put the press on us, Lord. Do we trust you? The amazing thing is you trust us. You trust us with your kingdom, Lord. You trust us with your kingdom. Bless us now as we give and as we enter into a season of worship again, Lord. In your son's holy name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward. We're going to do our offering. Thank you for having me. I love this community. I love your hearts. Thanks for putting up with my ways. Thank you for your encouragement. We're all masterpieces created for great moments, all different. Be you. I have a great verse here I want to give you as a benediction. When Peter says you're priests of a new nation, the new community. You're peculiar. Don't go the way of the world. He had in mind what God had in mind about the priesthood. And it's the last book of the Old Testament before 400 years of silence. When Malachi chapter 2 verse 5 says, the purpose of my covenant with the Levites, the priesthood, was for them to bring life and peace to the community. Resurrection, life. Not political victory, not political attitudes, not all the division. My purpose for the priests is to bring life wherever they go. And peace, not chaos, peace. And this required reverence from them, and they greatly revered me, and they stood of awe. So we bring life, we bring priests, and we bring a sense of awe. I can't believe this storm you're allowing me to walk through, Lord. Man, I can't believe this time in history we get to be here versus the traffic or the pothole or the tax rate. You're an amazing God. You see me. You've called me to victory. You've blessed me. You've anointed us, and you've filled us. That's amazing. They brought life. They brought peace. They stood in awe, and they passed on to the people the truth of what I shared with them. May we do likewise, priests. We're involved in a new era. May it not be a political one, but one filled with grace. Amen? Amen. Have a great day.